You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory, we all have a memory, we all have a story. Was there an understudy, or did the show stop? Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top? Join us as we revel in a reverie, it's my Broadway memory.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, why don't you introduce one of them and I'll introduce the other.
So our first guest is Telly Leung, was recently in Aladdin on Broadway. And Michael, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, I have no chill about this next person. No chill. I have loved this person ever since I first heard his voice as Jafar in Aladdin, the movie, and also watched him do Shining Time Station. I'm so excited to, yeah, I know Telly. Yeah, Shining Time Station. I'm so excited to welcome my absolute idol, Jonathan Freeman.
Yeah, hi. Welcome, boys.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Hello. How are you?
Just fabulous. How are you guys doing on this Thursday during quarantine? What's going on?
I mean, I felt okay about myself until I realized a 16-year-old has written has a cast album coming out.
I know.
What have I done with my life?
That was remarkable.
Isn't that absolutely amazing?
What was amazing was, did Olivia really just pull that out?
You know, I know that girl. I went to college with her, and I've never known her to fault me. So I'm going to say that. I believed her.
All right.
No,
maybe it was a stack of all Aladdin playbills.
Oh, you know what? That sounds more like Olivia.
Yeah. Prepare.
That sounds more like Olivia. You know, and Catherine, who she replaced, we all went to college together. So, yeah, which is pretty amazing. I love that. It was just, it's an Ithaca grad role, which is pretty amazing.
Well, we've got a full night of fun and games and playbills and nerding out together. So what we always do on the show is we do our playbill segment, which is going through our binders of or stacks of playbills of shows that we've seen. So I picked a binder and I think I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to do an example to kind of like show you guys the format of what we do. And I know, Jonathan, you said you don't have any playbills, but that's okay because I'm sure we have lots of memories to talk about that aren't part of a playbill, right?
Yeah. Right.
All right. So.
I have questions too.
All right. I'm going to do this the way that Michael does it. And I'm just going to land on one. Okay. I picked a pretty recent binder. I'm going to do this one. What is it? Okay. Oh. Let's see. I know that show.
A lot of good memories associated with that show for a lot of people.
Okay, so I think this is the first time I saw it. Yes. This was back in August 2016. So I think it was like a full year from when it actually came out because that's when I was able to get a ticket. I remember purchasing the ticket. Which I have printed out here, back when they like first were selling out like crazy. And I asked all my friends, I said, guys, do you guys want to come see, you know, this new show Hamilton with me? And they were like, no, how much is it? I said, well, it's $67. Do you think, I think it's worth splurging, you know, because we're so used to those rush prices. So I ended up going alone because everybody said, no, that's too expensive. I won't pay that. So I said, okay. And then they couldn't get a ticket for a long time. And I ended up going to see the show. So at this point, like most of the originals, some of the originals were still there. Like Renee, Chris Jackson. And then, okay, here. So I'll show you guys the headshots.
Nope. See, it's so funny because it's like, I love seeing the headshots when it's like.
Older, right?
Yeah. Obviously.
But these are like so fresh. And I have the slip.
They're still.
I think cool. I saw, I did not see whoever, I didn't see Hamilton, like the actual principal.
No, you saw Michael.
Michael.
I don't know. Louis. I don't know him.
It was good. But I do, like, I remember stage pictures from when I see shows. Like, that's what really, like, sticks in my brain, like, imprints.
Yeah.
And, I was one person that did actually like listen to the album before I saw it. So I was like looking forward to certain things. But I was really, my favorite song is Satisfied.
And, yeah, it's great.
And I think the staging in that song is unbelievable. Thomas Kail. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who has seen it, but you know, like the turntable is involved and it's just like, you actually get the full picture of storytelling. Like that's when it all clicked.
Yeah.
Because you hear rewind throughout the, when you're listening to the album, but then when you're in the room, you see that staging and it's just unbelievable. So that really stuck out. But I do remember one memorable thing about that song in particular. There was somebody in the audience, like two rows in front of me that had her phone out and literally not taking a picture with a flash to the stage, but literally like turned around next to her daughter and goes, smile, and took a picture during the show with flash on.
Question for you guys, for Jonathan and Telly.
Yeah.
What? Now, I don't, Jonathan, you what'd you say?
It's like being on the Brady Bunch.
I know, right? Where's Alice? I'll be Alice. Of all characters, I'm definitely Alice. So, you know, I was at the show when this happened. Telly, I don't think you had done Aladdin yet, but this was 6 years ago. I think you had just opened or something like that because it was on my boyfriend, me and my boyfriend's one of our first dates. It's actually where we had our first kiss at intermission. So, isn't that cute? Someone had a seizure, an epileptic seizure. Yeah.
Upstairs, I think. No, yeah.
I was in the box house, right? And someone directly, I looked over here and it was because they started screaming. I actually thought that Jonathan was entering from the house because it was this like booming scream.
Oh.
And it was right at the end of Act One. It was right after Friend Like Me. And I remember, the original Genie.
James.
Yeah. I remember he stopped for a second. It was like, everything okay out there? We're good? Okay. And then the show continued and then it was intermission. It was really interesting. It was crazy.
He's good at, he's really good at handling crises and things, you know, things going wrong on stage. He was great at it.
Can you guys talk about if you've ever, you know, like had people flash photos during a show and what that does to you?
All the time. You know, the magic carpet ride is lit pretty dark.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the magic we see every light. You know, so for sure, that's my moment that I sort of can catch all the flashlights because we're sort of always breaking the fourth wall, and you know,
I can show you a phone.
Yeah, I can show you the phone.
Just the wrong time too.
There was when I
could be almost dangerous sometimes. You know, it bugs everybody, but it's really not nice.
Just live in the moment. When I saw Bright Star. I don't know if any of you guys saw Bright Star, but the moment in Act Two when she finds out, like, there's a big plot twist. I mean, it is, the audience is silent and in the palm of her hand and of Carmen Cusack's hand, and a phone just goes right off.
Worst.
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. But turn your phones off. You know what I mean?
I find phone ringing not as difficult to block. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I can block out a phone ring and keep talking to my scene partner. But a flash is something that's so hard for me to not turn my head and see, I feel like sometimes.
Because it could pose some sort of danger if you think about it.
Well, because you sort of expect, you start to calibrate your body and your eyes to go, okay, this light hits me here. This is when if anything goes differently than that, a phone ringing is so invasive that I go, okay, that I'm just going to try to ignore that and keep doing this, you know, but.
I don't know. Yeah. If I go like this, does it look like I'm talking to Telly?
A little bit.
Yes, that does.
Okay.
A little bit. I saw Nathan.
I think that when a phone or a light, it doesn't matter. But when it happens, like my worst time was like right before the magic trick at the very end, because there were so many things going on, and I had to do it so technically every single night, and I would actually make it work, and it was really difficult. That was the worst time for me. But I guess it's different for everybody.
And you have to stand in a very, very I've seen the show three times,
mm-hmm.
and each from different places. Now, Jonathan, you have to stand in a very, very specific spot for the end. Correct?
It's about the size of of a baby's head, and I have to go down through, and that's it. I have to get all of this down through the baby.
Jonathan, that's very specific.
Yeah,
very specific.
They're exactly the right. It's about the size of a cantaloupe. I should say that.
I feel like you and Elphaba both share that with what she has to stand on in order to get. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's God, that moment is
really. I mean, you know, if you added up all the performances, I guess really the percentage is very low. Thank goodness. But it's still, you know, zero should be the right amount.
Mm. Yeah, you can't have a cheeseburger that, you know, in between shows.
No.
So does anyone want to go? Who wants to go next? Let's see it. Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Yeah. Okay, Kelly.
You don't have any playbills, so you have to go.
Well, so I always say that I lucked out because I married the biggest showmasexual ever in existence.
I love that guy so much.
15 years ago, I married my husband, Jimmy Babcock. He's sitting off screen. He doesn't want to be here, but he has a wonderful playbill collection. He collects playbills. I mean, he has a binder like this, but this is just binders of shows we work on. Because he used to do press and publicity at Lincoln Center. So there's a couple of his playbills back here. You know, there's a couple of Lincoln Center shows back here. And in the front are my shows, right? But so I've pulled a couple of those out, but we first met when I was working on Pacific Overtures on Broadway. This was back in 2004. And his best friend from college, he went to Millikan University. Her name is Anne McMills. She was Brian McDevitt, the lighting designer's associate. And so there was some press photo of me on Playbill or something. And Jimmy had circled my face in that press photo and said, "Who's that boy? Set it up." So as Anne is plotting lights through rehearsals at Roundabout of Pacific Overtures, here comes, we're on a 10-minute break, I'm, you know, on the floor stretching, and in comes Anne McMills, who walks behind the tech table in the rehearsal room, beelines it for me and goes, "Hi, I'm Anne." And I go, "Hi, I'm Telly, so nice to meet you." It was like, "Yeah, do you have Friendster?" This was how long ago I've been with my husband. He's like, "Do you have Friendster? Can I Friendster you?" Now, for all my friends out there who are not as old as me, that Friendster was the social networking before MySpace, which was before Facebook, which is before Instagram. So Friendster, you saw how you were connected to people through 6 degrees of separation. So through her Friendster, we chatted online for a while. Now, Jimmy's a huge theater fan. And I remember maybe, I don't know, a week or two into us dating was tech of Pacific Overtures. They're lighting someone in a tree, which was the song that I got to sing, which I think is like, you know, if Satisfied had a grandmother, it would be someone in a tree.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, how do we tear apart time and tell a story, right? So I bet you Lynn was definitely thinking, this is like my Someone in a Tree, I think, in the middle of Act One. But but anyway, Anne was like, do you want to come to tech with us? So Anne is like, yeah, just sit next to me in tech, sitting next to Stephen Sondheim in tech. So Jimmy is speechless. They're lighting me, and it pays to date the lighting associate, because I think, like, you know, there's BD Wong and Alvin Ng, you know, downstage singing, and there's like five specials on me on a tree. Like, I'm phosphorescent. If you go to Lincoln Center and watch. So at some point I realized, oh gosh, I'm dating this boy and he's a huge Broadway fan. So this playbill actually is a playbill, but it had to come off the wall because we framed it. So I decided, I said, hey, Steve, I'm dating this boy. He's a big musical theater fan. Can you sign a playbill? I don't know if this is going to go well or not, but I feel like this playbill will really help me with this boy. So he signs this playbill. This is like a month into us dating or something. It says, to Jimmy, best wishes from Stephen Sondheim. And it hangs on our wall, but we took it down for the Broadway memory.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. Oh, I would have loved to see you do that.
Yeah, it's at the archive. And of course, like all things Lincoln Center archive, I'm sure, Jonathan, you can speak to this. When they go, hey, we're going to film the show for the archive. That's the show that everything went wrong. And that's the one where people drop lines, people drop props, things that have never happened before happen.
And that's they always tell you, or do you?
Yeah, they tell you. They're like, Lincoln Center's here today. And so you go,
That's a lot of pressure, and things always go wrong, you know.
How far be? I mean, with Equity Rules, it has to be within 20. Because I can't shoot anything for Dressing Room Project, which I've photographed both of you for. I can't shoot anything if it's not posted within 24 hours. Oh, so they tell you a long time before that, right?
Yeah, because that was a roundabout show, and it was a limited run for sure.
It's just an Equity Rule. I think no press can be backstage unless it is posted 24 hours before, at least what I do, right? I think if maybe like Hillary Clinton is in the audience, it's a little different story. You know what I mean? But yeah. But for a project like a pre-planned project like what I do, I think that it has to be 24 hours in advance at least. So
speaking of things that you've done, Michael, do we have a picture of you? Do we have a picture of Telly and Jonathan backstage that you took?
Oh boy. Do we?
That's a different picture.
I don't know if that's queued up, but what I am going to, I'm just going to go like that. I'm going to share it like that.
Wow.
And Michael, you took this for your other passion, the Dressing Room Project.
Yeah. Basically what that started out was I had massive senioritis in musical theater history at Ithaca, senior year. I was submitting for auditions while we were learning about Tin Pan Alley and Ethel Merman's Curse Jar. And I was like, I know all about this. And, I was submitting for shows, and my professor caught on to it and was like, you need to learn how to prepare better. And of course I got really heady about it. And I was like, I'm going to turn my discovery of preparation into something that's artistic. And that's when I started photographing actors prepping for the roles, which is not an original thing. And I know that, but, I'm doing it. I do it my way with my vision. And, I do it from a really specific point of view, I guess. And so I'm so glad that the two of you agreed to do that, because, it meant so much to me, and I learned so much, and I know that other people learned so much as well. And you bet I love those pictures of the two of you. And that picture, that's a good one.
I love that photo. Hey, I'm good. Can I share a quick Broadway story since I have Jonathan here? And for my friends who don't know, who don't have the privilege of working at the New Am. So this shirt that I'm wearing is actually an opening night gift that Jonathan gives every company member that comes through that show, whether you are an original cast member and a replacement. And they're all available for Broadway Cares, but I love this shirt. Now, here's a story that nobody knows, is that Jonathan, so this was my opening night gift, right, from Jonathan. And actually, Jonathan also got me a really lovely closing night gift. Do you remember giving me this, Jonathan?
Sure. I like to give them to people. I collect them to give to people because they fit into everybody's makeup box, or it's easy to travel with. So, I think it's a good thing to give people something small so you can take it away. Because people give you these things and it's like you need a truck to get it out of your dressing room.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, you know?
I'm stealing this idea, just like a little token to keep, you know, in my makeup box or in my, like.
Actually, Eli Wallach is the one that got me going on that, because I did a play with Eli Wallach played my father and Eileen Heckard played my mother in a production of The Flowering Peach. And there's a character in The Flowering Peach. It's a Clifford Odets play. The character is it's a Gitka, they call it, which is some creature that we don't know about, really. It was some, you know, supposedly a biblical creature. But in this piece, it's sort of like a mouse. So they had to figure out a way to create this Gitka so that when Eli captured it, you know, he could puppeteer it and make it look real. And Eli figured it out. He made this little, so for our giveaways from Eli, he gave us these little Gitkas to take with us. And it was like, this is perfect, because sometimes you get stuff and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get that? I got to get, you know, if you're out of town, you got to mail it. You got to find a post office, you know. Anyway, so it was perfect. So that's, I really stole the idea from Eli.
Well, good. I'm stealing it from you, Jonathan.
Okay, good.
I love it.
Tradition. That, wait, ready? I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and we're going to do that so I can get a good picture. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
The Papas.
The Papas.
The Showmasexuals. That's what that part would be.
Right.
Oh my God. Catherine Allison just said all my favorite people in one place. I love that she's watching. That makes me so happy. I love that girl so much. What is she? Three shows in one season? Is that what?
Where is she?
Well, she went from Aladdin right to Wicked and then right to Company.
She's such
it happened so fast. Unbelievable. Well,
even with the quarantine.
Yeah, I know. She's such a star. She's such a star. I saw Company in the West End. I didn't see it here on Broadway yet.
It was so good.
I know. It was amazing. I can't wait to see it here.
Yeah.
So Jonathan.
Yes.
Telly, those stories were amazing. I'm obsessed. Thank you for sharing. Jonathan, I guess it's your turn. Now, you don't have any playbills. But that's okay, you know, because
I used to collect them like years ago when I was a youngster, and I had a large collection at one point, and I ended up giving them to a school at one point to their research department, because now I'm sort of I'm not at the point in my life where I'm acquiring things. At the point in my life where I'm happy to let go of things and you know, move them along, you know.
Yes.
Money, if you call them expressions, like manure, it's not worth a thing unless you spread it around, encouraging young things to go. So I don't have a tendency to keep things like that anymore.
I would love to see you do Dolly.
You mean Dolly or you mean Horace?
All the parts.
All right.
No, I want to see you do Dolly.
One-man show.
You'd be amazing. What's his face did it at Malt Jupiter? Leroy Reams did it, and I want to see you do it.
Oh, God.
Leroy directed the revival, and then has directed it. He's directed me in it, too. I played Barnaby. But, like,
he's
directed it everywhere, and it's sort of cool because you feel like you're getting it from a little bit like you're getting it from Gower. Like, I didn't know Gower, you know, but I felt like he sort of had the Bible, and he was like, here, I'm passing it on to you, kid.
I saw Worley do it once.
Who?
Joanne Worley.
Mm-hmm. I would have loved it.
In Milwaukee. And there was a raccoon came on stage. It was a summer theater where I was working years and years ago. Yeah. It was hilarious. She was actually very funny. And when she needed it, she was very warm. She's a great performance. I also saw a lot of people do it. I even saw it when Ethel Merman came into the show.
And I think Craig Burns on Bygone Broadway, I think he just posted a picture of Ethel in her curtain call at the St. James, which I think that might be a good segue, because I am, maybe you could tell some memories. So at the St. James, that's where I first met Jonathan, because I saw him do The Producers.
You got to move up a little bit. Your name tag is covered. Yes.
Some do The Producers. So I could have worn my Jafar shirt.
I don't have the
what?
I don't have the t-shirt, but I have the umbrella.
Do you want this?
No.
I won't wash it.
No. So, I don't need any things. I'll give you the umbrella instead.
Okay, good. So I was 14 years old when I saw you do Roger Debris and the Producers and won absolute dream role. And then I wound up playing him my senior year of high school with you very, very much in mind. I don't know if I ever told you that, but I saw you do that and it was you, Brooks, Hunter Foster, Brad Oscar, Angie.
Mm.
It was an absolutely amazing cast.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And you were so kind because I stage doored it as, you know, a 14-year-old would do. I stage doored it and I professed my love for you and you just very calmly as you do, you went, "What's your address?" And I wrote it on, I think it was a pink post-it note and I gave it to you. And 2 weeks later, a giant Jafar care package showed up at my door in Fort Lauderdale. And I will never, ever forget that one act of kindness that you gave, that you showed me, that it was so easy and anyone could do that. And it was something that was just like, I want to be like him. I want to be like him. I want to give back like him. And that memory has always been such inspiration to me. And that's one of my I think that might be my favorite Broadway memory.
That's very nice.
Michael, you've never told Jonathan that story?
I did. I did tell him that story.
Yeah. I forgot. I did. But I'm always. What happens?
Sass. I love it. No, I forgot it though.
But you know, now that you say that again, I'm thinking 14, that's kind of young to see the Producers.
Do you know what family?
First time I saw the Producers, I was 12.
Really?
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. No, I take it back.
Us Fagulas?
What?
I said Us Fagulas? No.
I take it back. A few nights ago, this is a true story that's just happened. About 3 nights ago, I was talking to my mother at midnight. She's about to turn 97. And she said, "Can you hear what's on in the background?" I was like, "Yeah, it sounds like, is that Flower Drum Song?" She said, "Yes, you know, I've never seen the movie." And she said, "Do you remember that we went to see it? I took, that's the play. Is that the one you were in?" Yeah, that was a beautiful show. Anyway, she said, "Do you remember I took you to see it?" I said, "Yes, I remember. I mean, that was one of the things that made me want to do musical theater. Why? First of all, I was 9 years old. And my mother said to me, I can't believe that I took you to see this show when you were 9. I mean, that's kind of, I'm watching the movie now and I'm thinking, what was I thinking? It's a very adult, there are a lot of adult themes in that show. And I said, no, it wasn't. I mean, to me, I just saw all the unbelievably gorgeous stuff going on. You know, the smoke filling with stage and people coming down a slide at one point in some dream ballet, maybe. Fantan Fanny, I about lost my mind. You know, when the woman's fan started opening and closing, I thought, oh my God, I have to be in show business.
Wow.
We've been doing children's theater, but I was like, this is the show business I'm talking about. I'm not talking about children's theater. I'm talking about this kind of show business anyway. So she kept saying to me, but I can't believe that I took you and you're only nine years old. So anyway, I guess 14 isn't too young.
No, I grew up watching Mel Brooks movies. I saw Titanic in the theater in 97 four times. And I was 7 years old. You know what I mean? Like my Jewish family? No. I learned how to.
Yeah, but that's historical.
Yes. Leonardo DiCaprio was very, very historic. No, I'm just kidding. Now, something I wanted to ask you about, Jonathan, because I think that this is really important, is can you tell me about the picture of Jafar that's hanging when you walk into your dressing room and you look to the right? The picture that was drawn.
Painting, you mean the painting?
Yes.
The painting or the little one? There's two.
The big one, the big framed one.
Big one. Yes, yeah, sure. That was painted by, that's fantastic. That was painted by a kid named Owen Susskind, who's on the spectrum. And before I met Owen, I met his father first, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning writer, Ron Susskind. You may know of him. Quite a lovely guy. And he sent that picture to me through his father. One day I had a meeting with his father about an idea that I had after hearing about Owen's story, who's on the spectrum. And Owen is this kid who, you know, just to make the story kind of quick, retaught himself how to speak by watching Disney animated movies. It could only have happened while there were VCRs, because you'd go forward and backward and forward and backward and forward and backward. Which, anyway, it's a long, involved story. There's a great book, though, called Life Animated. If you get that book, Life Animated by Ron Siskind. It's a great story. It's really a film-worthy story. Anyway, when Ron contacted me, I basically said, I don't understand why you're not writing, you know, about this, about your life with your child. This is, it's like real magic. It's like a, like it's like a Disney magic movie. Anyway, so we started having meetings about it. Long story short, we met one day, and he showed up with like two huge collapsed cake boxes. And inside the collapsed cake boxes were this was this painting that Owen had done of Jafar. It was held together like around the edges with paper clips and stuff like that. And I thought it was, I've always flattered to get kid art, because it's interesting to see they're always different. The kid art, I've, you know, 40 years of kid art now. It's interesting to see, you know, the exact things that they choose to paint or draw or write about. You know, everybody has a little bit different perspective. You know, each kid has a little, this thing is important. You know, the bird is more important. The shoulders are more important. You know, the snake is more important, whatever. So it's always interesting to me. And I thought that Owen captured something that was, that I hadn't seen before in that particular painting, which was kind of the essence of Jafar's kind of, I don't know, Mercure. It's a little bit like, it's sort of like a mean Picasso, the painting that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's good.
It's really quite wonderful. So
I think I have a photo of it that I took for the dressing room project.
Yeah.
With your permission, can I show it? Or
you have to ask your permission, probably.
Well, because I could pull it up right now. I just don't. I just wanted to make sure that was okay with you. But I have a very specific question for you, because I think it's such a brilliant choice as an actor. There's one moment that you have in the movie, and it's the line, "And now for your reward, your eternal reward," and you use the whole range of your voice for that one moment.
Yeah. And
what did you say?
I miss it. I wish it was in
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was brilliant. And I want to know why, like, what made you at that moment go, I'm going to start here and I'm going to end here and come up with that choice, because I thought it was such a brilliant choice that, and I sound like Seth Rudetsky here, but I just think it's like such an amazing moment that that for me was the rewind moment, the rewind moment.
Yeah, I think probably John Musker or Ron Clemens, you know, pushed me over the edge with it or something, you know, that, cause when you do those animated movies, they take a long time, and they kind of, the really good directors, which I think John and Ron were, and they worked as a great team. They inch you toward the edge of the precipice, and then they urge you to keep going, you know, because it's animation. Because, you know, in animation, you can step off a cliff, and before you fall, you're going to be suspended for a minute. So they kind of push you. They keep pushing you and pushing you and pushing you. And also, I think because in the movie, at that moment, he's going from, I think he's still in disguise, and then he falls off of his disguise. He gives himself away at the last second, maybe. So something like that is what did it. But I'm sure it was Ron and John. I mean, it was my, I'm sure it was them, like, you know.
It's amazing. Telly, are you finding, like, the new generation of gay boys, gay LGBTQ+, like, that are, you know, brought, you know, showmosexuals, are you finding people talking to you? I love showmosexuals. I consider that stolen. Are you finding that that the new generation of homosexuals are approaching you about certain things that they're like, that one moment, or like when you did this, or I saw,
you know, I get that a lot with I get that a lot with Godspell sometimes. I feel like because that show is that show that all these high schoolers still do. And you know, when we did it on Broadway, we decided to take what the script was in the 70s. We sort of threw it out and we said, we're going to take the parables from the actual Bible and take the songs and do our own thing with it based on the talents of this group of people. And so now they've published the new script and it's our names in the scripts and it's also our bits. So bits that I created in 2012 are now in the script. And, you know, they're like, it's suggested that you, and, you know, our great director, Danny Goldstein, also did a forward that said, please feel free. Like, you know, back in the 70s, there's a Mae West impression in there because that's what those original actors did because that was funny then. And so, right. You know, Uzo Aduba comes along in 2012 and does a Donald Trump impression. Do you know what I mean? So like, it was current at the time. So, you know, I feel like a lot of kids now get a Godspell script in their hand in high school and they go, You were Telly. I'm Telly. You're Telly. Yeah. I go, yeah, I'm Telly. Like that's me in this script. Sometimes that's the one thing that has still sort of remained, you know, that's when I feel like, oh, right. Like I'm part of this thing, you know?
I'm obsessed with that. And before we move on to the next segment, Brian, I do just want to.
I think we have a surprise or, oh no, you.
Well,
you
yes.
want to throw something first. Okay.
Yes, I do. I want to share. That's the photo. That's the.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's really nice.
And you see, yeah. Right above it, right above Owen's painting, is a drawing of Jafar that I pulled out of the garbage, the black and white one, which was a. It was a drawing that was being thrown away. It was when I was working at Disney, because a lot of artists. Sort of have their input about what Jafar should look like. So, and then, you know, finally till we got to Andreas Deja's, you know, final version. And then the painting right above that is a painting that was done by my boyfriend for as a congratulations and happy new year card, because I found out I was going to start shooting that just before Christmas of 1990. And I think on the back of it, it says Happy New Year. And he before we knew anything about Jafar, he did this little painting, which is also very beautiful, and of what we thought Jafar, an idea that what he thought Jafar might look like. So anyway, so I have these three separate artists, three artists in a row. Most people don't know this, all these stories, but now whoever's watching does. So
that's why you're on the show.
That's why we're doing it.
because I don't know if you know this, but so many people love you. Like really, people are going to be very excited to hear these stories. And I know that Telly also loves you. And when we asked,
I
miss you.
Well, when Telly found out that you were going to be doing this with us, he immediately jumped to, an idea that I think is absolutely perfect. So we're gonna play some games. Oh, but no. If you are stumped, uh-huh. Telly and Jonathan, yeah. You can always phone a parrot, I guess.
What do you mean?
How dare you say? Look at that.
To be here with Jonathan without DDR, I felt like, oh, we have to call DDR.
Hey, Daddy, how are you?
Oh, this makes me so happy.
So, you mean, what do you mean? So DDR is our, we call him if we need help?
He's going to be your lifeline. Think of Millionaire. Now think of, he's your always, lifeline.
He's always our lifeline. Who are you for?
At this point in the live stream event, we played Broadway-themed memory games. While these games are tons of fun, they're best enjoyed in the video format of our episode. If you'd like to see the game portion of this episode, visit My Broadway Memory on YouTube or Facebook. Now back to My Broadway Memory.
Now, it's so funny that Don Darrell has number two Jafar fan because my screen name, my AOL screen name growing up was Jafar Fan 91.
The things you learn.
Because Jonathan's like, I had to go.
Michael is number one. That's what I'm saying, and I'm number two. So there you go.
DDR, where are you? It looks like you're like in a dorm room.
Listen, this is my newly built office in my house. I decorated it with Disneyana.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, I see. It's all beautiful. Yeah.
What's the orb?
Tenant.
Oh, that's from IKEA.
Oh, good.
It changes color if I want it to.
That's right. That's IKEA is considered Disney to a lot of people, but yeah. That's amazing. I'm so glad that you joined us for this. We needed to phone a parrot.
I definitely needed a parrot for a couple of those, for sure.
I hope I was terrible with Madame Medusa. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I will say that Don Darrell is often saving the day.
Yeah. Absolutely not true.
Jonathan and I will attest to that for sure.
Don Darrell has saved the day on stage more than one time.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any specific stories of that?
Well, I think once I sang a wrong lyric and he had the next lyric and he rhymed it.
Listen, if anyone saves the day, it's Jonathan Freeman, because when Mr. Freeman goes to the White Room, he continues to talk, makes complete sense, and we'll get back to it. We hit another branch of the story somehow, and then he comes right back, and it's incredible. Whereas I sound like Donald Duck, and I cannot make words. Freeman's.
He just keeps talking. It's like the stream of consciousness. That's like the. Like,
it's incredible. It's incredible. I've never seen anyone
than all of us.
That's my advice, just generally in life. Just keep talking. And you might get back to it. I always say, why waste good acting on the stage when it comes in so much handier in real life?
Ain't that the truth?
That's right.
Ain't that the truth?
Just keep talking.
I didn't know what you were talking about, the White Room, for a second. I was like, where is that in the new AM? It's like,
the White Room, when you go up, there's no doors, no windows, no floor, no ceiling.
Nothing, just the White Room.
Where I am right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the decor in Don Darrell's room is fabulous. Where are you, Jonathan? Like, get a picture on that wall.
I'm the White Room.
We love a White Room. You can see my living room, my area behind me. That's very fabulous. So, does anyone want to share any last minute memories? Anything? Because
you don't have enough time.
I know I don't.
Well, no. I mean, I'm old. I mean, I have so many memories, and I've seen so many wonderful people. So many wonderful actors and so many terrific shows for such a long time now. I will say this one thing, you know, the company of Aladdin had a Zoom last week with our producers just to check in and see where everybody was a little bit and kind of say, well, this is what's happening, blah, 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 you know. It was interesting. And afterwards, I got very low. I got very depressed. And I finally figured out that the thing that depressed me the most is that I believe that, you know, the theater's going to continue. It's just going to be different. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows really what's going to happen. But some of the things that are going to go away are some of the things that have given me so much pleasure, so much joy for the last, you know, more than 50 years, 60 years, really. I mean, I started working when I was a kid. So I think about all the crazy stuff and backstage stuff and things that happened in the theater that may just go away now because of this current pandemic. And it made me very sad because there were so many people in the Zoom who were young, whose careers are, we have kids who started in the show at 18 sometimes. So that's, you know, to me, that's very young. And I think they're not going to have these experiences. However, as Alan always likes to say, they'll have new ones. There'll be other ones. There'll be different ones. They just won't be these. But the ones that, you know, the ones that I think about and can share with, you know, people, you know, they're things that are going away. They're just long gone. Sorry to bring everybody down.
No, but that's not.
I do think there is some. It is going to be. I agree with Alan too. It's just we're going to figure out what it is, and at some point there some of those things might be able to come back. You know, those things that we do love. There's nothing like walking out of that stage door at Aladdin and having a little girl, a little boy dress up as Aladdin and like, you know what I mean, or dress up as Jasmine and like see you and be like, oh my gosh, you're like a real person. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that and like eventually when we get all this under control, like that is part of the experience. It probably won't come back for a while until we figure it out. But
nothing beats a 12-year-old dressed up like Jafar.
Wait, speaking of 12-year-old dressed up like Jafar, now can we show that photo of me and yeah, there you go.
Oh my.
Paint the scene, Michael.
It was Hanukkah, and my mom and her boyfriend got me this framed Jafar collage. Look at how hyped I am about it.
Oh my god.
He like gave it like the gun, like that gun finger, like, yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm cool. What'd you say?
Where did they get it?
I think it was eBay, because that was like
before Etsy, what? Right?
That was like 2003, so eBay was hot then.
eBay was hot then.
You know? No, but that didn't bring it down. I mean, there's a hopeful aspect to that. Then there's also that moment where I'm kind of like, well, I'm happy that I had, you know, 7 years in the industry of that experience. And, you know, where there is that time where I will be able to say, yeah, I remember before Corona, I remember what it was like. And I don't think that it's as depressing as one might seem. I think that there's a lot of amazing art that's happening now. I mean, this show was created out of the need to keep Broadway alive and the conversation going. Thanks. And what'd you say?
I think it's great, Michael Paul.
Oh, thank you. I love when you text me that you Michael Paul, I was like, he remembered my middle name. but no, it's just to keep that conversation alive, all different walks of life. And it's like, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we use the gimmick of picking the playbill, but you don't need the playbill. It's here. And you know, with Disney Plus happening, you know, I, Jonathan Telly, I could ask you about a million different things, Flower Drum Song, On the Town, so many different things. And we could be here for days, which is amazing. But that's the point of this. What'd you say?
We'll come back.
Yeah, you'll come back. The three of you will come back. And that's the point of this, is that even though we're going to be creating new moments, that Aladdin might look different come January. There will always be from 2000. When did you open? 2014 till 2020, and even pre-Broadway. Like, you will have, you know, that all of those different memories and create new ones. So I just want to thank the three of you for coming.
Yes, thank you all so much.
Well, thanks for bringing us. Thanks for bringing us together. It's so good. It's always great to hang out.
Fun.
Yeah. Any.
Brian, when we come back, I've got it. I'm not going to tell it now, but I have a great story about DDR.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to leave it hanging. It's a cliffhanger. It's a really good story.
Part two coming at you guys.
Well, I mean, I love that. Let's absolutely do that. You always have an open invitation.
Broadway memories.
Yeah. And then I'll come up with specific questions for that. But you guys are amazing. I also didn't ask what you guys were drinking tonight. I was drinking vodka.
Oh,
I was drinking water.
Drinking a beer.
Beer on now.
A back.
Drinking DDR.
Ginger peach sparkling water from Target.
Oh yes. What is that new brand now?
It's Good and Gather, baby. That's
Good and Gather.
Good and Gather.
Yeah, Good and Gather. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Market Pantry, and
that's right.
So many now.
Now it's Good.
Thank you. Thank you, amazing crew. We will absolutely have you back on again. You are the best. And Jonathan, you're not really on social media, but is there anywhere that we can find you? Because Telly, we can find you at Telly Leong, and DDR, we can find you at Don Del Rivera. But you're not on social media, so no.
I'll be the secretary. You can ask me.
Yes, you can ask. Send all your questions and all your money to DDR.
All your money.
And put them in an envelope and send them to me, or get a carrier pigeon to bring them. I'm not inaccessible, really. I'm just not on any social media. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I joined this thing called Broadway Plus.
And people
can contact Broadway Plus to find me, because I've been doing some online exchanges, Q&As, and conferences, and I just started like a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to be modern. Yeah. And it's been very interesting and kind of fun.
You are modern. You're on a live stream. You're modern.
I'm modern.
You are modern.
You're modern. Freeman.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
My Broadway memory. Go have dinner. Go do whatever you want. And I'll be in touch as always.
Bye boys. Good to see you.
Bye.
Bye, DDR.
Bye-bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.